Welcome to the Interviews Podcast.
Welcome, Interisti, to episode 117 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of the Supercoppa final, which finished 3-2 to Milan. Goals from Lautaro Martinez in the 46th minute, the 47th. Theo Hernandez with a free kick in the 52nd, Pulisic in the 80th, and then Tammy Abraham in the 93rd minute. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Johnny Paterno. For the folks that are going to watch on YouTube, for the clips we'll put out, as you can see, I'm in my darkness corner here with my hoodie up. This is going to be a therapy session, it seems like. I think the way to go about this is let's just air it out right from the top, do a little grievances session. Everybody can get off their chest what's bothering them about this game, because obviously, you know, we're fans. This is a fan podcast. It's emotional anytime it's a derby. I'm still working through my thoughts about this thing, and we'll do that together, and then we'll we'll look forward to what's ahead of us, because there's half the season is still left. So Johnny, how are you feeling?
Disappointing day. We went up 2-0 on them, and I thought that was it, done and dusted. I didn't foresee us blowing that, to be quite honest, and we decided to go ahead and blow that. You know, there's a few individuals that I'm probably going to have some words for in this episode, who, you know, I'm going to have the blame on. And, you know, even though I don't care so much about losing the Supercoppa, it's more so who we lost to and the manner in which we lost. That's what really gets to me. So
I agree.
I don't think it's a meaningful trophy by any means. You know, we won 3 in a row, and I could really care less, to be honest. So, yeah.
Yeah, as far as the Supercoppa itself, and listen, the way that we're going to do this is a bunch of you sent in some voice messages, which we really appreciate. I've listened to all of them. They kind of touch on everything that we need to talk about. So the way that I want to do this is, you know, we'll just play your messages one by one. We'll talk about what you got, what's bothering you guys. And then we're going to go ahead and look ahead. As far as the Supercoppa itself, because anytime there's a derby, and everyone has the right to, right? That's what this trophy is. It's a four-team tournament out of nowhere, right? This just started, this four-team tournament in a different country based off of last year's results. So, Milanisti, congratulations. You guys, that was a good performance on your part. I'm not going to take anything away from some of the players and also the manager, Conceição. Great job. But everyone that's celebrating, you also, for the past 3 years, have told us how meaningless of a trophy it is, and how, you know, we're the champs of Riyadh, and how that doesn't mean shit. So throw that right back at you. All right, let's get into it. So first message here from Intertwined. I'm going to go ahead and play it through the speaker. John, you just give me a heads up that you can hear this okay.
Guys, just got done with work, heading home. Furious about this loss. Oh, really? We had it, and we gave up 3 goals in the second half. Unbelievable. And it's multiple things, but like, yeah, we didn't defend well. Yes, Aslani was found lacking. Inzaghi's substitutions came late. I'm sure Hakan's injury contributed to this, but just the plethora of chances that we missed. Like, even when the game was tied 2-2, we had two, maybe three chances, clear-cut chances, where we could have finished, and we didn't get the job done. It's time and time again against quality opponents, we just can't finish. We're not clinical, and it comes back to bite us in the butt. So, just terrible loss. Anyway, we move forward. Hopefully, we'll do better in the league. I'm saying that.
Okay. All right. So, the couple things that he touched on. We'll save the Aslani stuff because that comes up in a few of the messages coming up here. But there's two things that I think we can get into off the bat. One, losing a two-goal lead. And two, our performance in these big games. So we created a lot of chances after going 2-0 up. Several from, you know, Taremi, Lautaro, Dumfries. I mean, there was just, you know, the Carlos Augusto chance that came off the line. It wasn't like, I think a lot of people feel like we took our foot off the gas. It wasn't really the case. It was more so like, you know, at some point the ball is round. It wasn't working out on our part. Maybe we weren't clinical enough. And you know, Milan also had a ton of chances as well. Do you feel like Inter has a big game problem?
I don't think it's a big game problem. I think it's just a lack of clinical finishing and a lack of a killer instinct to just finish off games. It's this season and really, you know, the first few seasons that Inzaghi was here. Last season was a completely different story. We ran away with the league. I didn't think we were ever going to lose a game. I didn't think we were ever going to have a problem finishing things off. And even if things didn't look great, we were still able to get those last minute winners to steal it at the end, which was a problem before that. So I don't think it's an issue with big games. I think if we really look at this team from top to bottom, I don't think it's as good as we think it is. I think that there is a lot of quality at the top end and then a lot of just guys who are on their last legs, guys who aren't living up to the promise that we may have seen or thought that was going to be coming with these guys. I think that there's a big gap in quality between the real contenders for the UCL and us. And even though we, you know, we're almost undefeated throughout the whole thing so far, I think a lot of that has been fortune on our side in aspects in some of those games. Because, like, even if you look at the Man City game, you know, you can make a good case that was the best game we've played all season. And it still was 0-0. I just think that there just isn't, you know, like my uncle would say, that super, that guy who smells the goal, who can just either find space in the box, get onto it with his head, score from any part. I think that's it. I don't think it's an issue with, you know, struggling with big games.
So what are the big games? Well, there's a couple things that I want to get into. So what are the big games that Inter has failed to be clinical in? The Manchester City game, we didn't create a ton, but there was, you know, there was enough opportunities where you could say we could have won that game. You actually felt really good coming out of that game in away performance. But the other big games this year specifically, Juventus. Another two-goal lead thrown away. It didn't result in a loss, but that's a two-goal lead thrown away. Napoli, I mean, we should have beat that. We should have won that game. 100%. there were a ton of opportunities. So, and also, like, if you want to look back a little bit, like Atletico Madrid, that's a tie that we were the better team over the two legs, and we didn't get through. Lost on penalties. So, I don't know, man. I don't necessarily think that there's a big game problem. I think circumstances for each of these games have been a little bit against us, right? So you specifically called out the team for not being as good as we think it is. I don't agree with the notion that it's not as good as we think it is. I think that we've known that there is a specific area, which we have both said this since the start of the season, that there's a huge drop in quality from the one to the two. It doesn't exist all throughout the team, but this specific area, there's a huge drop in quality from the starter to the backup, and that is Regista. And I don't think anybody on Inter wanted or was hoping that Aslani would play 70 minutes tonight, that Chala would get pulled in the first half with an injury. That was huge. Like, if Chala is hurt, you almost have to change the expectations for the team. If Aslani is going to be the guy back there, you have to change the expectations for the team. Because this team with Aslani at Regista, it's not a title-winning team. It's not a Champions League contender. It's not anything. And I think everybody knows that. And even with that change being made, we still had the opportunity to beat this team and win this game. You know, some things didn't go our way. But we do need to talk more about the Aslani situation. So let's get into this next voice message here. This one's from Buzz.
So that was up until the goal for 1-2 for Milan. An okay game, I guess. Gotta take into consideration that it was a foul on Aslani, in my opinion. If we didn't concede right after, it would probably be a lot different. But I also can't wrap around my head what Inzaghi did there with the Calhanoglu Aslani sub. Chaha was definitely not injured. He just thought he had to make a sub because Conceição set up a game where Inter was losing the Regista. But Aslani was not the right choice, in my opinion. What later then came back by this in the ass. Also, obviously, this is my opinion, keeping Dumfries on after getting a yellow was not good. I understand the attacking option that Inter has with him on the right side, obviously. But as soon as Conceição subbed on Leao, Dumfries lost because he had a yellow card. He can't be physical, he can't tackle. So Leao just free roam, but also at the end of the day, cost us the game. I mean, all in all, hard loss considering the chances Inter had. We should have scored some of these chances that Inter had, that we had. I would say undeserved, but it is what it is. Campioni d'Italia salutano I campioni di Arabia.
I like the way he ended that one there. All right. So off the rip here, the foul on Aslani prior to the Theo goal. Do you think that it was a foul?
I think it wouldn't even be a problem if he would have passed the ball already. He I don't know what he's looking for. I don't know what bro, just move the ball. Like, he takes so long to make decisions sometimes. I guess it's a foul. I mean, I don't know.
It is a foul.
I'm more upset with decision making. I could care. Honestly, I could care less. It's the same thing with the Alexis Sanchez thing. Really, like, yeah, I mean, that, like, well, not the same thing. That was a clear-cut foul from the moment. But, again, that's one where it's like, Joe, just pass the ball. Stop trying to dribble. But I'm fed up with this freaking bum anyway.
So I'm with you that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all, because if we're being real and we're being honest, we benefited from in the first game in the semifinal of the Supercoppa with a non-existent corner that went our way, and we ended up scoring off of it. So for me, it's 100% a foul, but we can't really cry about it because, you know, it went our way in the semifinal. So for me, that's not the issue. Like what you're saying is 100% a little bit of too much time on the ball. Also, like when you are sort of a weak player like that and you don't shield the ball correctly and you easily go down, referees have it in their mind. Like they're not gonna help you out, dude. Like you gotta show a little bit more strength on the ball there. The other thing he mentioned was thinking that the sub was not because of injury. It definitely was because of injury. It's
100% because of injury.
Yeah, it's already been confirmed. He felt something in his adductor, and he would not have made that sub if that was the case. There was no tactical thing about it. It was for the injury.
Even if it was, let's say for the sake of it was tactical, he's gonna bring on a worse player and think that that's gonna fix the problem. If that was tactical, that makes no sense. It 100% was an injury. That's like wanting to take out, you know, let's say Lautaro today and then bring on Tommaso Hinoki. For a tactical. To me, that's the gap in quality between Çalhanoğlu and Aslani.
Yeah. And then he also mentioned the Dumfries staying on. I didn't mind that at all. I didn't think it was... I think Leao had himself a hell of a game, for sure. But I don't think it was necessarily because Dumfries was on that yellow. You can put Darmian on, but Dumfries has been playing super well recently, and he had chances, and he created chances. So, you know, you could say that the benefit outweighed the negative there. And a lot of people complaining about Inzaghi's substitutions. I don't really have a huge problem with any of them. I think there's two that you could debate. I think one, bringing Aslani on for Çalhanoğlu, I think, in hindsight, it's always easy to say, but maybe slide Barella back there and throw on Fratesi or Zielinski. And then also pulling Barella for Fratesi. I know he was on the yellow, but it's the Supercoppa final. And like, you know, does that move get made if it was the Champions League final? Or does that move get made if it was a game in the league where you absolutely, you know, must win? If you win, you win the title. I don't know. Were there any substitutions or the timing of them, anything from Inzaghi as far as the changes, the tactical changes that stuck out to you?
No, I honestly didn't have a problem with the timing. I thought, you know, when I was starting to see us on the back foot, he did react and throw guys out there. Maybe the Di Marco one was a little... I don't know. It looked like he still had legs, in my opinion. I think, you know, at that time when you have Bastoni off the pitch at that moment in time, I think it would have made more sense to put Augusto in for Bastoni and then leave Di Marco up there. And then if you did want to take Di Marco off, you still have Buchanan. Not saying that he definitely would have had an impact or made a big difference, but, you know, with the way Di Marco and even Dumfries were bullying Emerson Royal, I think that if you would have put on Buchanan maybe late in the game there, even if it when it's already, you know, 2-2, I think that we at least could have held it in their end of the pitch for a little bit longer and kind of had them a little bit more aware of who's on the pitch and what they could potentially do.
I thought pulling Di Marco was a little strange because of the penalty aspect of it. If it went to 90 at 2-2, Di Marco is a guy that you'd want up in your five. But after the game, it was revealed that De Vrij actually is dealing with an injury. Unsure how long it's going to keep him out. And that's why he couldn't pull Bastoni. Augusto also came on and almost scored. He, you know, it wasn't him that was the problem, but... yeah, it's these conversations would be so different if like something like Augusto's header, you know, went in by a millimeter. All right, let's get to this next voicemail.
Good game, scores, assists. Lauchi, fucking world class. Looked like Lauchi from last season. But I will say Lauchi is not the best. He's not the best. He kept misplacing passes. He kept going for shots, even though when he was ricocheting, I think definitely left more to be begging. And then Aslani, I mean, horrible. And Inzaghi with the last minute changes, taking out Barella and, you know, bringing in Fratesi, who was pretty much shut down. I don't know what to say. I've been sitting here for an hour staring at my TV's black screen. Forza Inter. Forza Inter. Fuck this cup. It doesn't matter anyways. We'll win the fucking Scudetto. I mean,
whatever. This...
Who was that? You didn't say who that was.
He said Scudetti. I don't know who this guy is. If you are listening to the pod, Scudetti, like, reach out to us, because he perfectly captured my vibe, like, after this. It was just, like, dejected, fuck this shit, but thank you for leaving that voicemail. He said a lot of interesting things. The first, let's touch on potentially our first positive of the podcast. Taremi, what did you think of his game today?
Been a long time coming, so I'm happy he was finally able to perform to the level that we were hoping that he would bring when he came from Porto. And, you know, I thought the goal was brilliantly taken. I'm glad he scored from open play. I felt like it wasn't going to come, really. But, yeah, I mean, it's a shame that that wasn't the goal to seal the victory. So, yeah, I mean... It's good to know that he has that in him, because especially now given the injury to Thuram, I would feel better if we took our time with him instead of rushing him back on the pitch. So
took our time with who instead of rushing him back?
Thuram.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to be positive at all right now. Obviously, and I'm sorry for the energy, guys. It's like it's tough to do these pods. We haven't done a lot of these. But I thought Taremi was, like, absolutely outstanding today. His best performance in an Inter shirt. The hold-up play was really good. The ball was just sticking to his feet when we found him. The layoffs were... The difference between Lautaro as of late and the Taremi performance that we saw today was the decision-making in the layoffs. Every decision that Taremi made, he found the right player. He found the player that was open, the player that was in space, the player that was, you know, moving into space. Every layoff was perfect. It was a great sort of target man performance. And obviously, you know, that ball over the top for De Vrij, the control to bring it down, the finish, which was like inch perfect, just you know, inside of the post. He was so good today. And contrasting with like Lautaro, who I thought was really good in spurts, but the big difference was Taremi's layoffs were perfect. Lautaro, I remember a specific instance where he's in the box with the ball. He cuts inside because he wants to take on the shot himself and completely misses a Di Marco that's running in wide open on the left-hand side. Like, just did not pick his head up to see him. Like, you know. I understand the striker, the selfishness, stuff like that, but there were little moments like that where I can't give Lauti a fully great grade. He also... Go ahead, Jim. Sorry. He also mentioned the Scudetto at the end of the call, saying, fuck that, we're still, you know, still going to go ahead and win the Scudetto. Does this game change the way you feel about our chances to go ahead and do so?
No, definitely not. It doesn't. Doesn't change how I feel about us competing for the Scudetto. I think, if anything, the injuries concern me more than the outcome itself. You know, hopefully, at most 2 weeks without Hakan, because anything longer, and then that makes it a little bit harder. You know, you don't want to waste the games in hand that you have on Napoli and Atalanta by not having your best 11 on the pitch. So, yeah, hopefully they're able to snap, you know, at least stay the course in the interim.
So if Hakan is down for, let's say, 3 games, who are you starting?
I'm starting Zielinski in Regista, and just knowing that the bad is still not going to be as bad as Aslani. So,
yeah. I almost think you have to go Barella at Regista, because you saw Zielinski was responsible defensively for 2 goals conceded against Juventus. Aslani was responsible for, you know, at least 2 goals conceded against Milan today. So I think you got to go Barella, and then that might open up some playing time for Fratesi. And let's switch over to talking about Fratesi a little bit. He came into the game today, obviously a lot of chatter around him. I don't know how reputable a source Pasquale Guaro is. I don't think he's super reputable.
He's as reputable as I am. Let's come on.
Even after the game, he said that Inzaghi and Fratesi's relationship is at a low point, like completely unfixable. I definitely don't believe that. I think maybe someone is trying to feed him information and he's just running with it. But he did get an opportunity today, and it was a great tackle by Chow. But you also feel like, you know, maybe the play was to one touch it into the back of the net. After all the talk around him, like, you know, you got to make an impact and you're the super sub, even the super sub stuff seems to have worn off with him. Where are you at with Fratesi?
I mean, anybody who remembers, I was never his biggest fan. I wanted Samardžić more than Fratesi from the beginning. I thought that profile of player fit what we needed more so than a guy who can get in the box and chip in a few goals. Him and Aslani are 2 guys that I tweeted it. I would like to see them both leave now. And, you know, in my perfect world, we would be able to bring in, Ricci and Nico Paz would be the dream.
Yeah, I agree. Those 2 guys would be great. Ricci linked with Milan this morning.
Yeah. Then I guess Rovella.
I'm going to pause right there. This is Saul Goodman 69. Did we take our foot off the gas? I don't know that we let Milan back into the game. Like, they,
I think we did.
You think we took our foot off the gas? I think we might have created like 3 or 4 other opportunities to put the ball in the back of the net. It was an open ass game. I'll say that.
Just because you're creating opportunities doesn't mean you're not, you know, taking your foot off the gas there. You allowed a team that really should have been dead and buried to come back in the game. And how else does that happen if you're not taking your foot off the gas and not being as aggressive and not being as, you know, you're just not being killers. You allow your crosstown rival to, you know, to still have life. And then you have people making poor decisions in the middle of the pitch that lead to turnovers, that lead to, you know, tactical fouls. You know, I initially wanted to blame Mkhitaryan for committing the foul there, but it's like, you have to in that circumstance. And I think it's because you have guys who are just lackadaisical around the pitch, you know, who are supposed to be this, you know, fantastic, you know, players who, there's been 0 growth in Aslani's game. 0.
So who are the lackadaisical players? Like, who are you referring to specifically?
Aslani, you know.
That's why I'm saying it's not a matter of foot off the gas. Like, you can you say Barella or Dumfries or De Vrij or Bastoni, who had an amazing defensive performance today. Can you, when you say like the team took their foot off the gas, I'm not saying that you said that.
No, you're right. I'm putting the blame on everybody when it's really just one individual who, because of their just level of stupidity, that's really what it is at this point.
Level of game, like how it brings down the rest of the team. Johnny,
it does.
How many times did Milan slide the ball across the penalty area and Aslani was just like watching balls fly right past them? No attempt. He was stuck in between making an attempt on the player or cutting off a passing angle, like rushing onto the ball. He was stood in the box as Milan was playing balls freely across.
You could see, you know, and maybe this is just my own opinion, but I felt like you could see the body language from the teammates around him, just exhausted, having to try to pick up for his lack of awareness, whether it was Mkhitaryan, whether it was, and you know what? For a lot of the things that I dislike about Mkhitaryan, I think that he, for the most part, had a pretty decent game today. Agreed. I think that he really worked hard and was, you know, running himself into the ground, that poor old man that he is, because he knows that he has this kid next to him who just has zero awareness. Absolutely zero awareness. I am so done with, like, honestly, like, bring up anybody. Bring up anybody from the, you can't tell me they would be worse. That's literally where I'm at. You cannot tell me that any midfielder, whether it's Baron Brook or whoever else you want to call, you can't tell me that they would do worse. At the very minimum, they would do the same thing, but at least they're younger and I would understand it. This guy's been here now 2.5 seasons and there's been zero growth in his game. He is an Empoli level player. And you know what? If we couldn't get, you know, Ricci, Rovella, anybody, I would even just swap him back for Fazzini at this point, even though he doesn't even play the same position.
You said awareness. In the 93rd minute, you let Leao run right past you. No tracking. You're not staying with your man, not nothing. You just let Leao run right past you. He is not Inter quality, Inter level. He's not a regista. And we've been saying this. And people, you know, have been arguing, like, I've been saying the only position that he can play is Mezzala, or if that, or in a double pivot with someone else protecting him. He's weak. He's not. The only characteristic he has is that he can sometimes ping a ball. But that's not happening often enough or to the point where it's game-changing, where you can have a future.
For the 1-7 long balls that he could play, I could care less.
I agree. He's not good enough. I can't imagine that it's true that they didn't accept a $20 million offer from a Premier League club for him this January.
They didn't accept 18 from Fiorentina. I refuse to believe that.
That was the biggest thing. And you mentioned Fiorentina. Like, he's not even as good as like Adli. And Adli is not.
He's not even Fiorentina level. He really isn't. He is a bottom half table player at best.
It is really hard to, like, you're trying to evaluate this game. I also really, in the moment, it feels like everything is absolutely terrible, but I don't want to conflate this game bigger than it is. Like, in reality, what 70 minutes from Aslani was not the fucking game plan at all. And if I'm going to criticize Inzaghi for doing that, for choosing Aslani over whatever, but maybe that's for the best. You know, our season completely turned around when we lost to Milan earlier in the year. Completely turned around. Like, maybe this is the catalyst and the wake-up call for some shit that needs to get through the director's head or the coaching staff's head about this guy. You can't trust him. And I know he's 22 or 23 years old, but the experiment is over. He's not turning into... So he's not growing into his body and becoming something that he's just not. He just isn't. And I'll root for all these guys to succeed. I want to see Aslani kill it, but maybe for Udinese or Genoa. Like, that's,
yeah,
that's the level. All right, let's finish out Saul's.
I will agree that I think it's going to come down to that match. I think that will be decisive in the long run. I also think it'll be decisive what they do against the Atalantas and the Napolis as well. You know, are they only going to show up for us and then, you know, let those other teams run over and smack them? You know, now I would like to think with the way Conceição is, which, by the way, I got to give him at least credit. I think he did a phenomenal 100%.
Job. 100%. He's a great
I think
coach.
That he's a phenomenal coach. And if, you know, Inzaghi did leave for Liverpool, like, you know, or even Man U, like all the rumors were saying, that would have been the only guy that I wanted.
I agree.
100%. 100%. But I digress. I don't think... It's not that I don't think that our Scudetto chances are at risk. I think that it's really just it's going to come down to health. I think that's the most important thing here. I really don't think that we're going to lose it or it's going to get away. It's, you know, is Barella going to stay healthy? Is, you know, Thuram going to come back and instantly get hurt again? Is Hakan going to have this lingering for the rest of this? Like, that's really what it's going to come down to. You know, I saw some people saying, "Oh, we miss Acerbi." I don't. Not that I'm saying he's not important. I think that he's the least of our problems right now. I don't, you know, DeVry's been playing out of his mind. Bissek's stepped up massively. Bastoni's been phenomenal. And I've been a huge critic of his defensive game, and it has not been a problem once. We just need to stay healthy, and we need to get everybody back to be able to be performing and then be able to finish out this season. And I think that's going to be more decisive, not so much a psychological thing with Milan. If anything, this should entice them to want to go out there and beat them 5-0 in the next game.
I'm with you 100%. Like, it's, I don't worry about this game. I don't worry about the outcome of this Supercoppa from a mentality standpoint, because if anything, this team has bounced back from bad moments pretty well, knock on wood, that they can continue to keep that streak going. But it's, you know, every team is going to have, you know, bad periods throughout a season. It just so happened to take place in a Supercoppa final in a different country against a Milan that, you know, just got a new manager. Everyone's playing their fucking socks off for them. Debatable whether they even, you know, could have been in this final given how fortuitous, you know, they got against Juventus. How
let me tell you, go ahead. Sorry. No, I was just gonna make fun of Juve, that's all.
Yeah. You could say fortuitous today too. And I don't take anything away from Milan. This is not a thing to take away from them. But it's not like we didn't create any chances. I mean, the ball was mostly in the net on the Carlos Augusto one. It's like sometimes those things go, they go against you. And it happened tonight. As far as the Milan derby being decisive for the Scudetto, yeah, I think there's going to be some decisiveness to it. But the reality is like when you're in a three-team race and everyone is within 3 points, like away to Venezia this weekend is decisive. You know, it's like all these points, all these games matter. All these games matter. How many derbies did we win in a row before these last two?
Exactly. You know, like this is their Super Bowl. This is their Scudetto. They're not winning one. So
it's we spent most of this pod airing out the grievances here. But the reality is this was a two-game tournament as opposed to a 38-game championship, of which we are, what is there, a 15-point difference between the teams?
Something like that.
They're competing for top four, and they're not particularly close right now.
No, they're competing for top six. They're conference league right now. And who knows? So, maybe Sergio helps them get back in the race. But with the way the top four is right now, I truly don't see it happening. They would need some massive fall offs.
I think he does get them back into the race. I think Milan has a better squad than, maybe some people think. When I'm saying this, it's not really shot at Milan. I don't really care about Milan. We're competing for different things right now. Like the derby is the derby, and it's huge. It's more so to address some of the interisti that the outcome of this Supercoppa title should not change anything as far as expectations. All right, let's finish out these voicemails with Mr. Alpha Bravo.
Hello, Gianni, Alessandro. Mr. Alpha Bravo here. So, hope you guys are doing well. And I would like to thank you guys for recording an episode after such a goddamn defeat. It must be really tough to have to go on and talk in an episode when, you know, a lot of times, you know, honestly, we don't feel like talking after such a defeat. But, you know, my question to you guys would be, and even though I'm sure you guys would probably cover already in the episode, but what do you guys think is the reason why it's been happening to us lately that we get sucked into this chaos state of games? You know, it happened in the Atletico game last season where we compromised the advantage, same with this game. So there's something off that, you know, obviously today's game, you can talk about Slani or any individuals, but I think as a collective, there's something more that needs to be looked at. Other than that,
thoughts on, and thank you for that, Alpha. Thank you for all you guys for sending those in. What are your thoughts on the chaos state that we get into?
I mean, yeah, it's a great way to put it, to be honest. I think that's really well said, because yeah, it becomes like everyone's flustered and everyone doesn't know what to do. And it's like, I feel like it's almost like they're overthinking. And I'm telling you, it's because of Aslani. Like, everyone's thinking, oh, maybe I have to drop, like the forwards are thinking I have to drop back further to make up for his lack of a presence in the middle there. Or the other two midfielders are thinking maybe I need to drop back and try to help him and cover for him, because, you know, it's crazy the domino effect when you really break it down that takes place when one person is literally just dragging everyone down with, like, you know, when they tell you when you're in, you know, you're in a riptide to
go with it,
to go with the current, and not, you know, not fight it. Well, Aslani is not only fighting it, but then he's panicking in the water and then deciding to take, if I'm going to drown, I'm going to drown my whole team with me. That's literally what it's like with him out there. And I think that that's what causes the chaos, because you have a person who just lacks awareness, and everyone thinks that they have to now change their focus to make up for the one. It's insane. And I hope that they can figure something out to not allow this to be, you know, a continuing trend, because we need to have clear heads to be able to, you know, stay afloat and be able to get through these moments. No game is going to be 90 minutes of pure ease unless you're playing, you know, a team like
especially against Inter. Am I wrong to say that, like, it feels like every team outside of Lazio, it feels like every team brings their best to Inter, Lazio and Atalanta, this season? Who knows what's going to happen, you know, far this season. They always bring their best.
All of them. And all these goal keepers decide to play like prime Andrea Consigli, because that's who it really is, like our menace. Thank goodness Sassuolo's not here, because maybe the Scudetto would be done if Sassuolo was still in Serie A. I mean, but all kidding aside, it's like everyone decides like Inter is the team that you have to show up against. They don't do it against Juve. They don't do it against Milan. They don't do it against, you know, Lazio, Roma, Atalanta, Napoli. No. Inter is the team that you need to show up against. And you have to play the game of your life. The announcers were saying, listen, I can't stand the announcers today, because they were going so crazy for Pulisic. Don't get me wrong, he played a phenomenal game. I'm not going to take anything away from what he did. But you would think that he was not only walking on water across the pitch, but just, you know, he found the cure for cancer. He, you know, rescued a baby from a burning building, and he helped deliver, you know, 12 puppies in the middle of the pitch, because that guy did no wrong. And every time he touched the ball, it was, I was like, bro, shut up, calm down. And then, you know, Theo plays the game of his life today. He's been mediocre at best all season, decides to show up today. Rafael Leao looked like a man. I don't know what Conceição said to him. I don't know if he promised him, you know, I'll adopt you and you could be another one of my sons. I don't know what was said, because he came out like a bat out of hell.
He was
great. And like you said, everyone decides to show up against us. And I apologize for making fun of that announcer. I couldn't deal with it.
I was able to watch the Italian commentary.
I don't have that.
The VPN does wonders. Yeah, I mean, I think another thing that does need to be said about the chaos state that we get into when we miss these chances and are not clinical, momentum in sports is a real thing. It's a real thing, especially a Milan team, especially in a derby. Like, you get a little bit of belief and a couple things going your way can do wonders. A coach like Conceição, you know, motivating you, pushing you, it's not easy. And a lot of teams, you know, suffer from it. This was our third loss on the season, second to Milan, which makes it hurt a lot more. We also lost to Leverkusen at the very last minute. This Milan loss was at the very last minute. I think the Gabbia goal was in the 80 something, right? In the first
I think it was leg. 86, 87, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So momentum and moments, it's a real thing. And then sometimes it feels like the discussion after games like this is, it feels so much worse than it actually might be. Like, you know, is it possible to take a 30,000 foot view? I feel like I've gone through a bunch of stages since this.
At this point, I want to jump from a 30,000 point view. So
I get it. It does suck. It does suck, but it's helpful to talk through all this stuff. And it does suck, honestly, like being a fan podcast. Like, the last thing I want to do. I'm on the Inter Twitter constantly, and I haven't brought myself to look at my phone. But all right. I feel like a lot of the questions that were submitted, we probably touched on here. So while I look at this, are there any performances?
There was a few in there that I saw a few in there that I thought were good questions and worth like that we didn't really discuss.
All right, let's see. Do you want to do me a favor while I look through? Do you want to talk about Alessandro Bastoni a little bit? Because I thought he was incredible.
Yeah, the guy was massive defensively, which this was what I wanted to see from him in his game develop. And I'm not afraid I'm not afraid to admit it. He's the best player, the best defender in Europe, hands down. And just like I say, Barella is the most complete midfielder in Europe. Bastoni's the most complete defender in Europe. He can do it all. He can play defensively. He can deliver a great cross. He can play with the ball at his feet. He can score. Unbelievable. And I am so impressed with his performance. And I thought he made some amazing last-ditch effort tackles in this game that a lot of people, you know, may overlook because they, you know, didn't end up on goal, turn into goals the other way or whatever you want to call it. But my goodness, what a performance by him. He is, I wish that I liked our third kid enough to buy it, because I would have to get Bastoni on the back of it.
I just remembered, what did you think of Barella getting in Leao, that whole exchange that happened after Leao like play kicked out at Bisek, and I don't think Barella realized that it was playful. I have some thoughts on this, but let me toss it to you.
I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. I liked that he had that, you know, whether it was playful or not, I think that you, this is a rivalry. This is, you know, two teams that are not supposed to like each other. And I was fine with it. I'm glad that he didn't go over the top and decide to get himself booked by any means. But I had zero issue with him doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it was very obvious that he didn't know that they were joking around.
He definitely didn't know, but...
Yeah, the issue that I have is the referee, I thought, looked like he was getting absolutely sunned by Leao. First of all, Barella went over to him, but he didn't put his hands on him or anything like that. As soon as Leao, like, turned around and Barella was there...
Two-hand
shove right in the thing. No,
should have been a yellow.
It should have been a yellow. Yeah. You can't like that. You can't do that. You're allowed. Like, players all the time get in each other's face, but you know, Leao can just push him out of the way. Nothing is said. And then what I thought was so fucking embarrassing for the referee was when he called over Barella and Leao, and Leao's like walking away from him while he's still talking, like, and you still don't give out the yellow. Like, you're getting completely sunned. Like, the guy is not listening to you whatsoever, and you, like, you don't even pull out the card. Barella's standing there as, you know, vice captain. He's listening to the referee. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing, and like, I was just not, like, I don't know, if I'm a referee and I call two people over and one of them keeps leaving and I keep having to tell him to come back over, I'm going to show you a card. Like, what's the whole, aren't you supposed to have some sort of level of control in the game? Like, what, you know, completely,
yeah.
no respect. But anyway, let's go with this one. At @m6adam_, this season Hakan's missed 5 games due to injury, and he just got injured again, so let's make that 8 games. Do we need another midfielder in January? Also, have you seen Akin Sanmiro's recent performance? We're not going to get into the Akin Sanmiro stuff today, because it's just not where we're going to have our focus. So you think
I don't know about you, I'll address that at least. I haven't seen his recent performances, so I wouldn't even have a comment on it right now. I've only seen his match ratings, which I've liked, but I haven't seen the actual performances themselves. So
I saw the comp, and the reason why I'm saying it's not worth having the discussion is because we talk about Akin Sanmiro, we talk about, you know, this player on loan, whatever. Oh, bring back, you know, Sebastiano Esposito, whatever. Guys, like, are we trying to go for a Scudetto in a Champions League or what? Like, stop.
I mean, you know, I'd bring him back over Asani right now, but anyway.
Okay. The performance was against Cararese. You know, I'm sure that he's got
Champions League contenders, so I don't know why you're being so critical.
I'm just saying, like, these aren't really the conversations that we should be having, or we get obsessed with the wrong players. Midfielder in January, I mean, my only problem with that is that I don't think that there's a quality midfielder available in January for us to go take off another team without severely overpaying or getting, I mean, if we get 50 or 40 for Fratesi, he's gone anyway. So they'll splash that, but it's tough to get teams to part with quality players in January. I mean, you want to talk about Ricci, like Torino is not, they're by no means like out of a fight for, you know, their lives here. I mean, it's not that much distance between them and whatever. And the relegation zone. He also did just sign a new contract, so it's not like he's going to go for less than 40 or 52. So I just don't know who you want to get in January. Who's possible to get in January? When was the last time Inter made a significant outlay for a player in January? Eriksen?
Christian Eriksen. Yeah.
Yeah. Different regime.
I think, I don't know. All right, whatever. But
I think we need a midfielder, but who are you going to get, Johnny?
Nobody. I mean, yeah. I mean, I know the names I want, but they're not happening at least till the summer. So, but yeah, I mean, in regards to the Hakan injuries, it is a concern. And I would love to be able to get a midfielder like we were just saying. So I don't think it's feasible unless we sacrifice somebody, and by that somebody I would want it to be, you know, Fratesi, because that's your best asset would be him. And I mean, for a return to be able to invest, and I think that's the only way we'd be able to get, you know, in my perfect world, we would be able to see Fratesi go out and a guy like Ricci or Rovella come in. But Rovella's not realistic at all. Lotito's impossible to deal with, and he'd probably, you know, if he saw we got 50 for Fratesi, he would want 75 for Rovella. And, you know, Ricci would be the realistic one, but I don't know if Torino would give him up in January, unless we did, you know, overpay, which if we got 50 million, let's say, hypothetically for Fratesi, which I don't think anyone's coming into January to spend that anyway, I would want to take, I would be more than happy to give 30, 35 million Ricci immediately. But
yeah, Lotito and Cairo are not the easiest people to negotiate with. Which one of these questions did you really want to get to? Do you know?
I honestly don't remember. Like, it was
when I had a brief moment at work to look at. There's so many Aslani ones. At @John_FC66, do you ever think we'll see an American play for Inter?
I think at some point. I don't know if it'll be anybody in this cycle of American players, unless something crazy happens with, you know, growth for somebody. You know, in the past, I probably would have said, yeah, Gio Reyna. You know, somebody did ask that, and I was a big Gio Reyna fan. I actually think talent-wise, he's got more talent than Pulisic. I just think the head isn't there, and injuries are a concern for sure. But, yeah, I think at some point.
Yeah.
Trying to see now.
I mean, I would have wanted Tessman, honestly. I would have wanted Tessman. He's not really playing for Lyon. But I wonder if a 6'2", 200-pound midfielder that is okay with defending would have done a better job than Aslani today. But anyway, that's...
Oh, Artwine did ask one about, should we have gone to a low block in the 70th minute onwards? I don't think so. you know, and I think we as fans, when we see our team do that, we know that they are unable to sustain that level of pressure. And with the way that Milan was playing, if we decided to drop to a low block, I think that would have just welcomed more goals, or at least quicker goals at that point in the game.
Yeah, we've also seen them do that this year and then complained about it when they give up an 87th minute goal. So the other thing too is if you're going to play that game, like, it makes a lot more sense to do it when you have Thuram on the pitch. You know, who can, with one nice pass over the top from De Vrij, or I would have said Hakan, but anyone back there to play Thuram over the top on the counter, like, that low block works a lot better. I don't know that Taremi and Taremi got in behind the high line, but that wasn't really because we were in the low block today.
Peter Jordan asked another good question too. You know, this is the most chances Inter have conceded in a while. What could or should Inzaghi have done differently? And will we bounce back? I definitely think we'll bounce back. And then, I don't know, what do you think about what could or should Inzaghi have done differently?
I think the should have done differently would have been Zielinski off the bench and putting Barella back there. I think Aslani at Regista just really disrupted the team, the balance of the team. I mean, when you have a player who's out of position constantly on the counterattack, and that's Milan's best, you know, that's what they can do very effectively, it pulls everyone else out of position. There were a couple times too when the balls are coming across the box that De Vrij was like caught in between because he didn't have the proper cover either from Aslani. So I think Barella would have done a better job protecting the defense. I think he's a better decision maker back there, at least as far as like when to pressure and who to pick up. Aslani is not a zero defensively. He's a negative defensively. It's everyone. Anyone who's ever played, I played defense for my playing career. It's like if someone's sucks around you or is not picking up the assignment in any sport, like basketball, football, whatever, you see blown assignments, it's like the whole defense looks bad when you've got one player who just is not doing their job, can't do their job. That's it.
Yep. And then the last one that wasn't Aslani based, and I apologize, I know a lot of you guys had questions about Aslani and who, you know, we kind of did talk about what replacement should come in and who we would ideally want. I don't think any of them are as realistic as we would like them to be, unfortunately. This person asks, Elric B asks, please discuss the refereeing decisions. It made no sense to me for Theo and Leao not to get yellows and the yellows given to our guys. Yeah, I thought it was a very poorly officiated game. From start to finish, I think that I don't get how Theo didn't get two yellow cards, let alone one. I mean, he should have been off, in my opinion. I thought that he, you know, got away with some scumbaggery, which is typical of him. And of course, you know, of all the people to score a free kick goal against us, it had to be that piece of shit. I don't think there's a player in Serie A that I dislike more than Theo Hernandez. I really don't think so.
I agree.
I don't think there's a player like I'll be honest, I've actually have found myself like wishing injury on him because I dislike him that much. And that's not something I'm truly proud of. I don't think that it's something I should be bragging about. But he gets me to a point where my hate just flows out in such like an erupting volcano-esque like type of hate. Like, it just, I want to burn everything when I see him, and he's just such a dirty player, and he never gets punished, and I wish somebody would just either knock him out or something. But and yeah, I mean, we talked about the Leao incident. I don't get how a two-hand shove does not get you an automatic yellow. I don't care what the situation is. You know, and you know, he was quick to give yellows to our players. So I don't know.
It wasn't consistent. He didn't. I don't know, man. I grew up with Colina. You know, like these guys suck.
That guy was the pinnacle.
They have no control. Colina would get in your face. Like, these guys have no fucking control. Imagine Colina called over Barella and Leao walked away from him. What do you think Colina would have done?
Oh, he would have ran him down and given him a yellow in his face.
He would have followed him. He would have followed him and put the yellow in his face.
Yeah, like he would. Yeah, like I don't mean he actually would have ran. Like, he literally would have, like, angry walked right along behind him wherever, found a way to get in front of him and show him the card right to his face.
Yeah. Yeah, the refereeing wasn't great, but I also don't want to talk about the refs. I think the one thing about the Aslani thing is that people are asking for all the questions, like, who would you want? Like, list of names. I don't know that all these are realistic, but just throwing out some names. Ricci, Rovella, if we're going to start with the Italians. I like Bernabe a lot. I like Angelo Stiller from Stuttgart a lot.
I don't like him because of that schnoz. You got to fix that before you come to Inter. I can't look. He honestly looks like a cartoon character. It's like somebody drew him for a Disney movie.
Yeah.
It honestly looks like a bad prank.
Yeah, but Inter has got their fair share of cosmetic surgeries going on up top, at least. So
With the hairline. We must have plastic surgeons in Serie A. Or in Italy. I'm saying Serie A.
Rocco Reitz from Mönchengladbach. I like him a lot.
That's a good player right there.
Nico Paz, but I guess he's not really. Enzo Milo, but he's also more of a mezzala.
Hold on. We're talking about players potentially. There's rumors of Enzo Lefebvre leaving Roma.
Yeah.
I would take him in a heartbeat.
I think he plays out of pressure better than Aslani. I think he's got all the things that Aslani has in his toolbox, but he is also a small player.
Yeah, but I would take him immediately right now and feel more confident. Without a question. And people who watch Serie A are probably only going to know him from the way he's played in Serie A, which has been very limited and it hasn't been impressive. But if you go look up, you're not going to find games because Ligue 1 isn't even televised in the U.S. You'd have to, unfortunately, go off YouTube comps, but this guy is phenomenal at dribbling out of pressure. He's phenomenal with the ball at his feet. His vision, very pacey. I think that he would fit in beautifully. And I think that since they're trying to get rid of him, we'd be able to get him on the cheap, potentially.
He's a good player. We both have always liked him a lot. I don't know why it's not working out for him at Roma, but maybe
I thought he was going to be there.
Maybe the three managers have something to do with it.
I thought he was going to be their signing of the summer. Their signing of the summer.
Okay. All right. We've done our fair share of bitching here. It sucks to lose a derby, number one. It sucks to lose a final, number two. No matter what kind of, even, you know, we want to call it what it is. What kind of tournament it is. It sucks to lose a final. It sucks to lose to your rivals twice in a year so far. We still have to play them. All those things suck. So as far as the emotions are concerned, totally get it. Totally get it. My outlook for this team is not changing based off of 90 minutes in Saudi Arabia where, I mean, it could have gone either way. And they scored a goal in the 93rd minute because our backup Regista fell asleep. I'm adjusting expectations. If Thuram is hurt for a while, De Vrij is hurt for a while, Hakan is hurt for a while, sure, I'll adjust expectations. I don't, like, I'm not, Inzaghi got this all wrong, like, all this shit. It's like, dude, he was...
Yeah, I'm not blaming Inzaghi for any of this.
I'm not whatever.
I mean,
also, you know what? Like, sometimes it's beneficial to get kicked in the fucking dick a little bit. It is.
I don't know, man. I recently got kicked in the dick, and there's no benefit to it. So
you did not bounce back.
Oh, buddy, that's come on.
You didn't bounce back better than before. Oh, well,
definitely not better than before.
Well, I mean, yeah, it could go either way. It could sting us, but knowing the kind of characters we have on this team, I do think that they'll take the right lessons from it. And listen, like, if you've been paying attention, if you've been listening to Interviews podcast since its inception, we haven't had to do this a lot. Like, we things have been pretty fucking good.
No, we did this a lot the first year. What are you talking about?
That the first, yes,
was the 12 law school. Yeah, we did this a lot.
since that second half, yeah. I don't know, man. It's hard to dive into all the positives, but there's so much season left, which it's got to be played out. Nothing changed today as far as the expectations. If people really had Supercopa on the top of the list of things that they wanted to achieve, then good for you, man. You know, congratulations.
Never been on my list. Never will be on my list of trophies I want. So,
yeah. All right. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.